poet and essayist Gary Snyder is world famous for his writing and teaching on environmental ethics, community, nature, and Buddhism. He spoke at the very first Earth Day back in 1969. Snyder is also known for his poetry, winning the Pulitzer Prize in 1975 for his book Turtle Island. This year, Snyder has published two books that reflect both sides of his career, a collection of essays called A Place in Space, and an epic poem that's taken Snyder 40 years to complete. Rooted in the American West, where Snyder lives, it's called Mountains and Rivers Without End. NPR's Catherine Stifter visited the poet at home and has this report.
In 1958, Jack Kerouac published his classic Beat Generation novel, The Dharma Bums, the follow-up to On the Road. And ever since, Gary Snyder has voiced a standard disclaimer.
That I am not the character J.F. Ryder, I'm only a model for the character. And the book is a fiction, and I can recognize part of myself in that, but by no means all of myself.
Like Snyder, J.F. Ryder is a mountain-climbing Zen Buddhist who feels at home prowling in the wilderness. A little more than 5 years after The Dharma Bums was published, at a time when a whole generation of San Franciscans was headed back to nature and land was cheap, Snyder, poet Allen Ginsberg, and Zen teacher Richard Baker bought 100 acres in the northern Sierras. Today, only Snyder and his family remain. For 25 years, Snyder's lived and worked here. He calls his place Kit Kit Dizzy. It's the Miwok Indian name for mountain misery, the low-growing sticky shrub that covers the forest floor. At 66, he still does lots of the manual labor of living on the land. He says he's always been a sucker for hard work with hand tools, just like his dad and granddad.
You know, living the way that is important to me to live is more important than writing books. That is, you know, in the order of priorities. You know, I choose to live this way because I like to live this way, not because it becomes a topic for literature.
The way that Snyder lives is rooted in Buddhist philosophy, and that sensibility permeates his poems and essays. In a 1995 essay included in his new book, Snyder describes his home within the Yuba River watershed and how he came to understand his place among the plants and creatures in the neighborhood.
After 20 years of walking right past it on my way to chores in the meadow, I actually paid attention to a certain gnarly canyon live oak one day. Or maybe it was ready to show itself to me. I felt its oldness, suchness, inwardness, oakness, as if it were my own. Such intimacy makes you totally at home in life and in yourself. But the years spent working around that oak in that meadow and not really noticing it were not wasted. Knowing names and habits, cutting some brush here, getting firewood there, watching for when the fall mushrooms bulge out, are skills that are of themselves delightful and essential. And they also prepare one for suddenly meeting the oak.
Those are the kind of statements that make Bay Area political scientist and environmentalist Walter Truitt Anderson gag.
They feel good, and they make other people feel good, and consequently, that's about as far as the dialogue goes.
Although Snyder and his writings are revered in arts and environmental circles, Anderson says Snyder speaks only to those who have the money to escape the increasingly urbanized environment. In the September-October issue of Mother Jones magazine, Anderson took Snyder to task, along with the entire Back to Nature wing of the environmental movement, for what he calls dangerous, muddle-headed thinking about the role of humans in nature.
Anybody wants to live that way, it's just perfectly fine with me. And to a certain extent, I live that way. But when you start turning it into a proclamation or a recommendation for how people have to live in this world that we're talking about here, this world of 6 billion people, this high technology world, it's almost criminally irrelevant to the way most of the people in the world are dealing with the things they're up against.
Anderson contends that no matter how we got to the current state of environmental crisis, we've got to act aggressively because nature can no longer take care of itself. Gary Snyder insists that actions taken on behalf of the environment first be rooted in an awareness that all other life forms, be they plants, animals, mountains, or rivers, are the equals of human beings in the natural community. Snyder says the Back to Nature folks bring imagination and vision to a movement now focused on data and management. Scott McLean worked with Snyder to develop the Interdisciplinary Nature and Culture Program at the University of California, Davis. McLean quotes from another essay in Snyder's new book to show what the poet is up to.
The work of art has always been to demonstrate and celebrate the interconnectedness, not to make everything one, but to make the many authentic, to help save it all. In that, there is a good deal of the way I think that Gary sees his work, to bring forth that a voice from what he calls his constituency, the wilderness, which is a way that one of the essays in Turtle Island begins in that way. That is linking up what he sees as the most ancient work of the poet to bring a voice from the other world into the human circle.
That's what I was working for, to see how real I could make a world that was not easily accessible to the human sensibility, that belongs in the 1,000-year or even 1,000,000-year time frame. A larger society, a larger community, a larger cycle of energy, of which we are but a tiny part.
To describe this very simply, many of Snyder's poems use real-life events to explore an idea, a place, or a moment in time. In this excerpt from Mountains and Rivers Without End, the event is a rafting trip down the Stanislaus River to bid it farewell before the gates of a newly constructed dam closed and flooded the canyon. The Song of a Canyon Wren carries the reader and the poet back in time to hear Chinese Zen poets from the 11th and 13th centuries contemplate the spirit of mountains and rivers.
A smooth stretch, drifting and resting. Hear it again, delicate downward song. Dee-dee, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Dee-dee, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Descending through ancient beds, a single female mallard flies upstream, shooting the 100-pace rapids. Su Dong Po saw, for a moment, it all stands still. He says, I stare at the water. It moves with unspeakable slowness. Dogen, writing at midnight, mountains flow. Water is the palace of the dragon. It does not flow away. We beach up at China Camp, between piles of stone stacked there by black-haired miners. Cook in the dark. Sleep all night long by the stream. These songs that are here and gone, here and gone, to purify our ears.
Though his poetry may be filled with wrens and rivers, Snyder's sure his work is not traditional nature writing.
I asked myself, well, now, wait a minute, am I really a nature poet? What are my nature poems? And I went back and started looking over everything I'd written, and it was woven together in and out a lot. Very little of what you would commonly think of as, quote, nature poetry. It's about human beings. It's about spirit.
Gary Snyder pulls together 40 years of thinking on ethics, art, and the environment in a book of essays published earlier this year called A Place in Space. His newly published long poem, Mountains and Rivers Without End, tries to show how everything is connected. I'm Catherine Stifter in Nevada City, California.